Thanks, Rich. First, I want to tell everybody here that, although we don't come by, it seems like I'm here maybe once a year, maybe, you know, if I'm fortunate. But I think of you often. I think of you often. And pray for you often. And because I know that you, like all the rest of us, stand in great need. I want to talk about something today that's it's a very subject that's very dear to me. It's probably one of the most important subjects of my life personally, and that is this idea that God helps us to overcome. I have a title for it, the wings of his Spirit. It comes from a scripture that I'd like to read. I want to read one verse in 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 40. And it's in the middle of a scripture that I'm going to go to. It's this declaration and proclamation and like a psalm of Nephi. And it's one of my favorite scriptures in all of scripture. But in this one verse, verse 40 in chapter 3 of 2 Nephi, it says, "And upon the wings of his Spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains." You know, as I thought about that, I thought, does that just, because he had this vision, earlier on, he had the vision of the tree of life and the rod of iron, and he was carried up on this mountain, and he saw the world, and he saw so many things, But doesn't it mean more than that? Upon the wings of God's Spirit. What does that mean? Upon the wings of God's Spirit. And, I want to go back to some things that Rich said on that first service. I want to go back. I want to read some of the scriptures, or at least a few verses in the third chapter of Genesis, where we find out why it is we need to be riding and carried upon the wings of God's Spirit. And of course, he's getting ready to, as I'm going to read verses 15 to 19, we're going to read about a fallen world, the world that has fallen everywhere around us. And of course, we're included in this fallen world. And the only redemption is through Christ. But let's just read this. And in verse 15 of chapter 3 of Genesis, And this is what the Lord says: "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." You know, they read this. I read sometimes at funerals, that verse, from the dust you came, from the dust, and you go back to the dust, and it all sounds sort of morbid. It sounds very, but it is a description. And for some reason, in the world, when they portray, either in a play or a movie or something, a funeral, they read things like this, and they dwell upon this morbid part of life, death. And so here we have, in this world, all the elements that are necessary. And of course, prior to this, Rich explained this is with the beginning of all these accusations and sin and death. And you can usually tell when they're sin and how this applies to you. I loved telling my grandkids, to me it always made me laugh, was when they were fighting over their toys. And I tell them, here are these toys of unhappiness. and you're fighting over these toys all the time. You're always fighting and struggling, and he did this and he said that and all this and here. And why is this? Because they are subject to the very same things that we just read right here. And we see all the elements necessary for the destruction of man. We read something here, and I've heard all kinds of descriptions what this actually means, but I believe it sets up women for a great problem. And it says, you know, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. You know, where has this gone? Where has this taken man? Where, you know, the most popular novel in the world is a romance novel. And who reads it? Mostly women. I believe it has something to do with this. You know, set up for abuse, all kinds of problems. And if you don't know anyone that's ever been abused, well, then you're a rare person. But they're just set up for this fallen, sinful world. And the only answer is Jesus. There is no other answer. There's no other salvation. There's no other way of climbing up out of this continual search for happiness and things that are things of the earth. And always looking for the perfect job, the perfect education, the perfect husband, the perfect toy. You know, all these things in which they do not exist. They don't exist anywhere on the face of the world. I have, after the years of my life, I have this opinion. The more fun you have, probably the less happiness you have. And maybe that seems harsh, but the more I look at it, the more fun people want, the more fun they have, the more fun they want, and there's just never any satisfaction in this world. And when the only thing it satisfies is if they have God, and if they are, as well, living on the wings of God's Spirit. In the book of Romans, I think someone read this, chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is, you know, I often find myself talking to people in other countries and here, you need a victory. You need something to get in your life and to overcome emotions. You know, I find this wherever I go, people's emotions just totally engulf them, and they can't seem to get out of them. They can't put them aside, and their emotions are what keep them from serving God, and they always have some reason. Just like Adam and Eve, there's always some reason why they did something wrong, and somehow it's always because of someone else. Someone said something, someone did something, and therefore, in some way, I'm justified. I'm justified in my sins because someone else did something also. They did something to me. But in these things, we can be more than conquerors. You know, this is the, and I think Brian was alluding to this, this is the kind of thing today we can be free of these things. We can be conquerors, even in death, to the very last moment of our lives. We can find and be completely overcome these emotions that overtake us so easily. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, or Gentiles, excuse me, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Spirit of God is the thing that makes us all one. It's the thing that makes us be able to overcome in life and to overcome and to face everything. You know, we were asked to pray for someone, and I don't know who this is, a friend who lost a loved one, a son, is that right? That'd be pretty tough. And how do we get through that? The only way is on the wings of God's Spirit. And what does that mean, to be carried on the wings of His Spirit? you know, we know about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And these are the things which carry us into a victory in life, being carried in the wings of His Spirit. And I had, as a young man, I remember I was just filled with all kinds of emotions. And the victories of my life were when I began to listen to God's Spirit and began to deny myself my emotions. And yet I find that I still have emotions. And they still affect me. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You know, we have this great privilege that God will watch over us and protect us, but I find that every bit of life, there, no one can escape this fact that there's going to be a trial. Not one of us. No one can escape this burden, either the loss of a loved one, a problem at school, a problem where you're working, a problem in your family. And how common is that? It's so common. Every land I've ever been in, there's no place where there's no problem, where the problems don't exist, where they're either in families or in the church or among people. And I believe with all my heart that God gives this victory, that He wants us to completely overcome. And we overcome one person at a time. You overcome first. You overcome. You get to the place where this is not going to stop me. I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm His child. I find it very interesting. I've had an occasion here to do a little bit of studying here recently about the Islam and the nature of Islam and what they teach. And what they teach is that Allah has no children. Allah has no children. But we have and it comes really, and I find it interesting, it goes clear back to this concept from Ishmael, the rejected son. How interesting, it ties right in and goes right back and has come through the centuries and up to our present day, and where on some of the mosques, I understand, there's a thing that says, you know, he has no children. Allah has no children. But our God has children. He loves his children. He cares for us in everything that we do. And the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing his wings to help every one of us to overcome in all of our problems of life, to be with us. So I want to go back to this 2 Nephi chapter 3 to talk about this scripture. As I read through here, I find that this is the answer to so many things. And it describes my own personal life. And the things that I have been through in my own life, and how what a wondrous thing it is. So I'm beginning on page 92 in 2 Nephi chapter 3, and I'm going to begin with verse 24. And I'm going to read clear through the end of this chapter and talk about it a little bit, but I want to read through it first. And here we see that Nephi has experienced all the things that all of us experience. And yet he finds this victory. So verse 24, and it came to pass that not many days after his death, the death of Lehi, his father, Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael were angry with me because of the admonitions of the Lord. For I, Nephi, was constrained to speak unto them according to the word. You know, and I just want to pause there. You know, when we're dealing with people, and when I go out and I go down to Mexico and I start dealing with people, I try to think, now, when I'm talking to somebody, I'm talking to them personally. Am I talking from my emotions, or am I talking from the Word of God? Am I just expressing myself? You know, I'm just expressing my own anxieties, or am I talking from God's Word? But this is what he was constrained, it says, to speak to them according to the word. Not according to his emotions, but according to the word. And his father, you know, his father expressed his emotions and his love, but it still was in its essence, he was talking about the word of God. For I had spoken many things unto them, and also my father before his death, and many of which sayings are written upon mine other plates. For a more history part are written upon mine other plates. And upon these I have written the things of my soul. And many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. And I just want to pause here, and I want to tell my grandsons, before they fall asleep, and young people, there's something, one of the secrets of finding peace and happiness and riding upon the wings of God's Spirit is to learn to find delight in the scriptures. But to most, it's very difficult. It's difficult for young people to think this. Well, it sounds so, you know, so boring, but it's not. When God's Spirit touches you, and you find delight, you find joy and peace, and it's always there. And every time I read, every time I play it, or I have recordings of the scriptures and I listen to them, something always touches me. I'm lifted up, I'm strengthened, I feel prepared for the day. I feel prepared for the things that I'm getting ready to go through. My heart is at peace when all around me might be problems. And I ponder and I think about these things. And God has on the wings of his Spirit, has enlightened me and given me understanding and joy and happiness. And times when I see something new that I never saw before, and I move to tears because it's so beautiful. What God has done, his power and his might. And on the wings of his Spirit, we can soar. Everyone, no one has to be the exception. Every person, we can soar in this happiness and this joy, even though all around us there are problems. Verse 30, behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. And this was what he was finding his joy in life. But now he's going to be talking about the things... Well, let's just keep going here. Verse 31. This is the part that we never get completely away from this. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord, in showing me his great and marvelous work, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. And I don't know that we can ever escape that in this life completely. We always know of our weaknesses. We always know that there's something wrong with it. You know, and as kids begin to grow, and all of a sudden they get self-aware. You know, you wake up one day and they're self-aware. They're suddenly aware of how their hair is combed. They're suddenly aware of how their shirt looks. They're suddenly aware of the opposite gender. They're suddenly aware of all these things. And from that moment on, their life changes. Prior to that, you know, I look at my grandson Ashton, and you know, believe it or not, I can't remember at that age, but I can remember my third birthday when Becky's brother gave me a silver dollar. And I can remember, though, being free and happy and at peace. There were problems. I stubbed my toe. I got hungry. I got lonely, all these things, but I was free. And then I got to the age of my other grandsons and granddaughter, and suddenly I was no longer free. Something was burdening me. I felt, you know, what's wrong with the world, you know? Look at me, and I began to, you know, look at myself in the mirror and look at all of my imperfections, and you know, I'm not big and tall and strong like Dad, and I'm not smart like my brother, and all these things that we see And until the Lord touched me and carried me on the wings of his Spirit, I was burdened. This is the secret of happiness and life. And in the face of death, like Brian said, in the face even unto death, we can face this. This is what happened to Peter when he denied Jesus three times, but he died upon a cross willingly because he was changed. This is the real. This is what we have to offer. This is what we have to offer our kids. This is what we have to offer people, is this victory. This is the victory. To be free in our souls. And we hope that the people will, our loved ones. We all have known people that have not been free. I could use a Kleenex or something. Here we go. Perfect. All right, thank you. We all know people that worry so much all the time, and I'll bet there's some right here in this room. Just worry all the time. Well, I'm praying for you. And I'm not going to tell you I never worry, because I do worry. But I've had some pretty big stresses in my life, and especially in the past 20 years. All kinds of stresses that I never had or imagined I could have had. And God has blessed me, though, and still gives me this peace and this freedom. So let's go on after verse 31. O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am compassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. When I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. If that was written in the Bible, it would probably say, I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed. But this describes us so often in when we really think about ourselves, you know, all of our inadequacies. What could I have done more for this situation, for that situation? What could I have done more to help and to do, to help somebody, to do what's right? But it's all about riding upon the wings of God's Spirit, because there is no other way to happiness. No matter how many toys you get, no matter how much money you get, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Verse 35, my God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions and in the wilderness. And you can remember that. He was hungry. He got weak. He broke his bow. His family blamed him because they were hungry. It would have been a pretty stressful situation. And yet he prayed and he asked God, and God helped him. But he's looking at this after it happened. He's looking at this after it's happened, and he sees God hath led me. It's past tense. And so often we don't know until it's all over. We don't know until God takes it all away that God was with us. Through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. And remember, he got tied up, and the wind blew their ship. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. And there have been a couple of times in my life when, as a young man, I believe I was about 18 years old when I first felt that one time, where God touched me. I was concerned for other people. I was praying for other young people. I thought, you know, they're just not doing the right thing. And I prayed for them, and I prayed for them. And all of a sudden, God touched me with his Spirit. And all the strength went out of my legs. And I sat down where I was on a step going up into the house. And he flooded my soul, and he gave me peace. And so I learned to trust in God's Spirit, that he would help me, he would bless me, he would lift me up. And he hath confounded mine enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. And we have enemies. And I'll bet in your business you found enemies. or in school or somewhere you found people that wanted to destroy you. My wife comes home once in a while talking about some of the people that give her trouble at work that she works right beside. These are very difficult things, very difficult things. He has confounded mine enemies unto causing of them to quake before me. Now, I've never had that experience, but I have seen. You know, I heard this testimony. Rich was talking about how his wife knelt down to pray and the safe opened up somehow when she was working on it, you know. God also opens up hearts. And I've seen that many times. God opening up a heart, changing someone's mind that was against me. Changing it. But I had to wait. I had to wait through to find out what it was. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day. He hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains, and mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension to the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep? And my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? And why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath place in my heart to destroy my peace and affect my soul? And why am I angry because of my enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of my enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. And we have enemies and we have afflictions. We have anger. I heard somebody talking about that was their problem in life. They have anger. They have anger in life. And getting over it is a great blessing. And so, I'll stop there. One of the things that he talks about here in this is that God poured out his love upon him and blessed him. And I want to go to the book of Luke. I want to read about something that I believe is so important in life. And I don't know if it's possible, really, to truly love your fellow man without having an experience somewhat like this. In the 7th chapter of Luke, verse 36, one of the Pharisees, I'm going to read several verses here. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is given, the same loveth. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Isn't that true in your life? Until we look and we realize how much you yourself have been forgiven, how much God has looked at you and forgiven you, or the things, the kind of person that you are, the kind of things that you think, and when you realize God has forgiven you, this is when we really learn how to love. When we realize how much God has forgiven us. And this is an experience that we need. We need to realize that we ourselves are indebted to God, and that He loves us, and that He's forgiven us. And when we see this, when we feel this, when we feel this cleansing power of the Lord, we ourselves begin to learn to love others. Well, he also talked about the Scriptures, and I said something about that. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, I found in my life that I didn't even understand my own heart until I began to study the Scriptures. When I began to read the Scriptures for myself and read through them, I began to see what kind of person I really am. Where are these thoughts coming from that are not right? I began to understand it and to be able to put it in its proper perspective and its proper light, to understand myself and to understand others. Where these things come from? They come from humanness and from our frailties and from our sinful nature and from our fallen nature that we have. He also talked about trusting God. In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And then in Job, we find that, of course, he was talking about a fiery trial of persecution and the kind of thing that you would happen because you're a Christian and because people don't like you, if that's a reason why. From Job, though, we find something else in chapter 19, verse 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know, we are afflicted, we are tried by this death that we have entered into, this death that came in from the garden, that we get old, we break down, we have problems, arthritis or whatever it is, and we have as well persecution in the world from time to time. You know, I heard, I believe it was Dwayne talk about tithing, and he asked this question, you know, will a man rob God? And as I thought about that, there are other ways that we rob God. One of the ways that we rob God is that we don't have patience. We cannot wait for God to answer our prayers, and so we act when we shouldn't act. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do. There was a young man down there that in Yucatan, and he was so intent on having a celebration at the church that he set out one day on his bicycle to go to the next town because there was no taxi driver in the town where he was at to take him and his loved ones to go into Merida, pick them up, and bring them back out there to Wild K. And he was insistent that we have this particular service. He just demanded it. He knew it had to happen. We have to have this service. So there was no one there to do it, to go pick him up. He couldn't pay anybody. So he rode his bike to the next town, and on the way he had a flat tire. He pushed the bike back. And he fixed the tire, and he took off again, and he had a flat tire again. And he came back, and the pastor said, don't worry about it now. Do it next week. Let's do it next week. And it was wise. It could just do it next week. Don't do it now. We can do it next week. Everyone will be here. We can take care of it. But he just couldn't receive that answer. He couldn't receive it. He had to push it, and he pushed it, and it became everlastingly too late. Because eventually he did find a driver, and the man had been drinking. And he wasn't even a professional driver. He was just a helper. And he took off and he killed one of our locals. Destroyed it. He had to have it. He just had to push. He had to push. And we can rob God when we don't wait. Because when we wait for him to do his perfect work, his perfect will in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, then we can glorify him. You can glorify him. You know, we're all going to glorify him someday. Even the people that do not believe him, the scriptures plainly tell us, every knee will bow. But you rob God of the glory that you could be giving him. And also, you take away your reward. You take away your own reward because you cannot wait. Because we cannot wait. And so, will a man rob God of his glory when he won't wait? It's something that I've thought about ever since that day when I heard about this. I used to be impatient, you know, I get in traffic and think, well, you know, I wish that guy'd get out of my way and I wish these people would move and all this kind of stuff. And I began to, you know, maybe things are just happening exactly the way God wants. And I'll just wait. I'll just wait. And I found, you know, as time has gone on in traffic, especially in things like traffic, that I would either just come after an accident or just a few minutes after I'd been in a place, there'd be a terrible accident. And how God apparently timed things just right for me and for my loved ones and for my family and for my brothers and sisters that we weren't there at the time. And so we just take these things as they come. One time I didn't listen here a couple of years ago. I got on a motorcycle down in Honduras, and we were going up to a place to hold services, and Ronnie was on a motorcycle, and I was on a motorcycle, and I looked down, and he said, we got to go up and get some gas, and I looked down at the gas tank, and I looked past the gas tank, and I looked at the tire, and I knew that tire is going to blow. I absolutely knew it. And this voice kept telling me, you know, don't go. Tell him you can't go. This tire's not going to make it. No, I can't do that. It'd be embarrassing. I can't do that. So we filled our tires up. We filled our gas up. And he took off. And I could hardly even get started. I was so frightened. I was scared to death. And I took off. And he was lickety-split down the road, down this dirt road. And I took off. I saw him disappear over the rise and out of sight. I took off and I built up my speed to about 40, 50 miles an hour, and boom, that tire went right then. And I tried to slow down. When your front tire goes out on the motorcycle and you're in the dirt, just as soon as that thing gets down, you're going right over the handlebars. And that's just exactly what happened to me. And luckily, all I have is just a scar on my left knee. But I thought I landed on the road, and all because I just couldn't listen. I couldn't listen to the voice saying, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go. Don't do it. Tell him that this is not going to make it. Say something. And I just couldn't do it. We need to be patient. We need to let God have his way. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God has sent us in this world to learn. As we look at the trials of people like Abraham, you know, he called him out of the world and he called him from Ur and from Babylon, and send him out into the wilderness, and send him in his tent to live the rest of his life in tents, and send him out there. And each thing that he underwent was something to prepare him, to make him worthy to be our adopted father, I guess you might call him, to make him worthy to be the father of nations, to be the father of the nation of God. And each one of these trials made him ready. And each one was difficult, and each one was hard, and each one was something to test him. And that is what our life is from one moment to the next, a test. Just like Nephi was expressing, you know, all these things that had happened. They were all in the midst of trials, terrible, terrible afflictions that were placed upon him. And God lifted him up and let him go onto the wings of his spirit. And what is he able to do because he waded through and he was faithful and he was patient? He was able at that moment to glorify God. God has been with me. God has been with me. And that's what we need to do, of course, with our kids, to let them know. We are witnesses of God. We are the witnesses of God in this world. And to give that witness, God has been with us. God is good and to us. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Drop down to the 10th verse of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That God can be glorified in you. He calls us to glorify him. He calls us to receive great things, to walk on the wings of his Spirit, and to be participants of the fruit of the Spirit, to have a foundation of our life and our happiness on the fruits of the Spirit, and to as well have the gifts of the Spirit. We should be praying for these things, for God to be with us, that he would glorify his name in our midst. He also talked about peace. And one of the greatest witnesses we can give is during some great trial in your life, if you receive that peace that God has given to you, if you accept it, if you trust him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The human mind can't comprehend. Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you troubled? Why aren't you going panicking or something? Why is it that you have the strength to go on? Shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There is a peace that cannot be understood by the world that's given to us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God calls us to something that's greater, that's higher. It's a victory. And to be on the wings of his Spirit means that we live in love. We live in peace. We live in joy. We experience these things. This is how we're carried on the wings of his Spirit in a fallen world. How we are lifted up above this fallen world where we are. And God is with us. And it gives us a reason to live. And that's it. Unless you want me to preach another sermon.
A few.
No, I'm not going to do that. So I hope that at least you got this idea that you will remember that God wants us to be victorious. He wants all of us to get over things, to be able to deal with everything that comes our way. It doesn't mean it's all going to make us happy, but we should all be able to endure it, whatever it is. May God bless us, each and every one.